I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Ravanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Ravanelli spots out. Emerson!
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom, and our guest who has played over 100 games for Borough and has just recently left us. He was a cult hero in this time. It's the tree, Matt Crooks. Matt, as always on this show, we always start with three words, normally to describe our feelings, but I would love to kind of say what would be like your three words to describe your time at Middlesbrough and your career so far.
Career, I'd say proving a point. Middlesbrough. I don't know, that's hard. I might answer at the end. I just think about got one. Felt like home. Felt like home, that'll do.
Yeah, and to be honest, everyone like warmed to you as well. It was like kind of like a family feeling for you when you're at Middlesbrough. But before we come on to Borough, I just want to kind of take you back a little bit early career-wise. So I'd just love to hear about like your career, because when you first started out, you had plenty of loans. You were at Hartlepool at one point as well. You had some time at Rangers. But how would you assess like that start of your career? Because like it can be people who just favour you at certain times, things might not start out right and you develop later. Like, how would you assess that early part of your career when you were like just going on a few loans between different clubs?
Yeah, I think, like I said before, like, you're trying to prove a point even at that point. You're trying to stake a claim in the game, trying to find your way. It's not easy to try and get into a team and kind of stand out and progress. So I was always trying to obviously showcase my talents, and the only way you could do that really was to play games, and I was happy to go out anywhere really to try and impress people and get my name in the door. So like you said, I went to Halifax, Hartlepool, ended up going to Accrington and then returning permanently there. I actually started out at Huddersfield playing with Matt Robbins. He played like a 3-5-2. My first championship start was actually as a right side centre half against Bournemouth. Yeah, we ended up losing. Was it 4-0? And he left the next day. So that was like a chaotic start to my career, and that was like the first week of the season as well. So yeah, I've had like a few kind of starts and then kind of blockades in the way to try and navigate and start again, but it's worked out in the end, I guess.
And it definitely has worked out for you as well. But there was the time at Rangers as well where it just didn't really like seem to go to plan. How come it didn't really work out at Rangers?
So I had a really good season at Accrington. Really enjoyed my football there. Kind of playing as a midfielder in a 4-2-3-1. And then I signed a pre-contract in the January because obviously they're not an English club, so it's kind of like signing abroad. But then in the Feb, playing against Plymouth, I got injured. I needed an operation on my ankle. But they still wanted to go through with the signing. So I ended up going there injured for the first 3 months, I think, and then finally made my debut in like the October. I mean, it's not an excuse. I did get 3 games and didn't perform particularly well. But I kind of, yeah, that was like another stop-start situation where it was such a good opportunity for me and it just didn't pan out the way I wanted it to. So I went on loan to Scunthorpe, did all right there, played a few games under Graham Alexander, really enjoyed it. And then I was actually in Magaluf with a few of my mates. I was with like Dwayne Holmes, Sin was there. And have you been to Magaluf?
Yeah, yeah. When I was like 18.
Yeah.
It was, then go on the strip, you know. Yeah.
It's like, there's like the place with, it's not there anymore. Well, it is there, but the bull, you know, the bull thing in Mambo's. Yes. Yeah. So I was in there watching, was it Bradford? I think it was Bradford in like the League Two final of the playoffs. I've still got the message on my phone. Let me find it. We had a new coach called, I found it. We had a new coach. Was he Portuguese or Mexican, called Pedro Cachina? And I was injured again. So I got injured again at Scunthorpe. So I came back from a loan early. I did my knee. I didn't need an operation, but it was still like 10 weeks. So my season got cut short. And I was in the 20th of May, 2017. And I'm in Mambo's. And I get a text saying, "Hi, Matt, it's me, Pedro, the coach. I was looking for you today at training regarding next season, but I've heard you've gone away. Can I call you later on?" Oh, so I was a bit like, "Can I swear?" I was a bit like, "Oh, fucking hell, like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is this?" So I rang him back and he was just like, "You're not in my plans for next season. I know I haven't seen you train or seen you play, but you just don't fit my style." I was like, "Right, okay." He says, "You're free to leave." So I had like 3 years left at this point. I'd only signed in last summer. So obviously I put the phone down. I must have sank about 3 egg worms because my head is gone. I had a great day that day.
End up in BCM with the wristbands.
Yeah. Alex's bar, yeah. Then I went back for pre-season and there was like a group of four of us who didn't like me, Harry Forrester, Rob Keane and someone else. I came back, had like 2 days, and then on the third day, he pulled into the office and he was like, "I don't want to see your face." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "I don't want you in my side of the building." He got eat with the under 18s, train with them, like Murray Park training ground. Mm. There's like two heights, so like a really long building and there's like a really long corridor. And there's like doors that like separate the main first team bit to the academy bit. So the day after we had that meeting, I thought, I'm not listening to that. I'm still going to get changed in the first team room. I'll get breakfast. I went to walk through the doors. And I'm not joking. The first team coach was stood there waiting for me. He's like, "No, where are you going? Go back that way." So I was eating with the 18s, training with the 18s for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I got to a point where I was like, "I've had enough." I just had to leave. So I ended up leaving permanently, where looking back, maybe it was the wrong decision. I should have maybe stayed, gone on loan, but that was a decision I made and ended up going to Northampton. He got sacked like 4 months later, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't last too long, did he? I think he had a really poor start and then got knocked out by like some, was it like semi-pro sides in the Europa League?
Yeah,
is that right?
It was some random like Eastern European country, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, but yeah, he had a stinker.
Yeah, I was just thinking. But to be fair though, I feel like when you were saying there, like you could have went out on loan and it could have came back and kicked things on. Like you did find like your feet more in like at Rotherham and Northampton as well. Like, how come it started to like settle a lot better there from previous clubs? Was it just like the game time? Was it the coach that liked? What was it about there?
You know what? Even at Northampton, I wouldn't say like I remember. I joined their League One. They said they were getting Chinese investors. And they were making a real push in League One. We ended up getting relegated. But after 4 months, the Chinese investors left. Even that, I was thinking, like, I've worked my way up from Accrington, like, really worked hard to try and get my way out of this situation where I can push on in my career, and then I've kind of fallen back into League Two again. So that League Two summer, I kind of worked hard again on my own to try and get as fit as I could. And then luckily enough, I got a chance to join Rotherham in the summer, where I had a great time, great lads. We did some good stuff.
Yeah, like how did you celebrate when you got the move with Rotherham? Did you go back to Magaluf and celebrate?
No, it was in the January. It was in the January. It was the January transfer window. So yeah, I left my Elias was only just born then, so I left them straight away and kind of went up to Sheffield to live up there for a bit on my own.
Yeah, and to be fair, like I don't blame you. I think you can only do it once or twice as well, to be honest, and then that's it as well.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the everything else off the pitch as well.
You talk about Magaluf once or twice.
I think you can only do it once or twice. I think you've got to go and like branch out to different places.
I think I did like 7 years running, maybe. I love that place. It's fantastic.
We are like selling like the boats and the wristbands at one point. We're working over there.
No, honestly, at one point I thought I might start. There's no selling the tickets when they come around. I could have done that easy. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, mate, easy. Like, you know, getting people in for like two bookers and
all day.
Oh, light work, you know?
Look around as well, going around. It's a great life.
Yeah, it is a great life. I think for the summer, it's great. But then, like, you know, it's just, it's too, like, you live for that summer, innit? Like, it's all you can do for it.
Yeah.
But I think with anything else like that, I think Magaluf, I think it's just a one or twice. But then I feel like you've got to, like, go around, like, the maybe the Holy Trinity of, like, yeah, Napa, like, Cavos, and then maybe finishing a beta. You
know, I enjoyed it too much. So it was kind of like, I know this is good. Like, I just want to stay here. I know what I'm getting. I don't want to go to like Cavos. Like, I see Cavos on videos. It's like, no.
The best thing about this is me and Tom have absolutely no idea what you two are talking about right now. We just sat there like.
I don't think lads' holidays are a thing anymore. Like, I speak to some of the younger lads and they're just like, they all just want to look cool on Ibiza or something. Like, no one goes to like the proper gritty places anymore. It's a shame.
So yeah, you won't see Johnny Howson in Magaluf anytime soon?
No, I don't think I spoke to Johnny about this before. I don't think he's ever been. He's going to be in Vegas, so I'm going to see him in Vegas this year, hopefully.
Oh, see, I can see Johnny Howson in Vegas. I can't really see him in Magaluf, to be fair.
These are leads. Like, anyway. Johnny can go to Mega. You went to Benidorm, that's why he went in the summer. He went to Benidorm for his mate Stag. Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, that seems very good.
He's a lead from Morley. Can take him anywhere.
It's his kind of vibe. Him and Dale Fry, definitely, you know, Benidorm lads, I reckon. Yeah.
Dale Fry's got expensive taste. For a borough lad, he does.
Like that surprises me. That does surprise me.
He likes his nice things.
Matt, just off the pitch, obviously there's probably some real Salt Lake fans that might be listening to this. Just to move on to, you know, your charitable endeavours, can you tell us the story of how the John Sinnott Foundation Trust came to be?
Yeah, so after Sin passed away, like we all want to do something. I didn't want him to just kind of get lost. And obviously, it sounds awful, but people die every day. And I didn't want John to just be like someone that's remembered for 5 minutes and there's like a big scene around it and then just kind of drift on into the distance and no one remember him. So obviously, we did the shirts for Jordan, the Senate 25 shirts, which we're still doing now. And that, like, went crazy, got over 1,000 shirts from all over the world. and then after that, Mel, myself, a few other friends, Kelly, we decided we wanted to do the charity. And maybe from a selfish point of view, I wanted to do it because it helped me kind of get through that kind of period in my life. And even now, obviously, it still helps seeing what we're doing for people in his name. And I know I've kind of, people say, rightly or wrongly, what a nice person I am for kind of doing this charity work, but it's not really me doing it. It's kind of more Jordan and my friendship for Jordan. That's what I'm kind of honouring him rather than anything else. He's obviously a big part of my life still, even though he's not here. I'm trying not to get too emotional, but he was my best pal, so whatever. If you've got a best pal, obviously you want to do right by him still, so that's kind of what we're doing. And obviously his little girl Maisie, who is obviously a blessing for us, half of him still here with us, and I want her to see how much he's loved. And with this charity, I kind of feel like we can show that.
Is that what has motivated you the most in your career then, doing things for Jordan?
Yeah, it's been a massive part now. I just feel like before, maybe, not that I didn't take life seriously, but it just opened my eyes really about life and how precious it is and how quickly it can go, and try not to waste any moments that you do get with your closest ones, your family and your friends. And I just try and be as present as I can in the moment and try and do what I've always set out to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you started to like build the foundations like in the States now with like different teams or like within your teammates as well around like just getting as many shirts as you can? I mean, you could have played against Messi, like
I did see him train. We trained the next day at the training facility, and they were training on the next pitch, and that was quite cool. But yeah, I was fuming that I didn't get to play. It was visa issues or whatever. But yeah, I spoke to the media guy yesterday. Actually, I think they're more than happy to try and help me kind of push it over here a little bit. I've not really had any ideas yet of what I can do or push. But I got my first 25 shirt the other day. We played St. Louis and they had a number 25. So I asked him for the shirt after the game. He looked at me a bit confused. Like he had no idea who I was. But yeah, it's my first 25 shirt. So hopefully I'll pick up a few while I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if anyone's listening to this as well, like the charity, the Johnson Foundation, is going to be actually being the link of our bio, so we'll push that as well, push it on the socials as well. And for our Real Salt Lake fans who are going to be joining us today as well. But should we chat about Middlesbrough a little bit as well? Because you joined Neil Warnock, 16 games when he was there at time, score 3, assisted 1. How was it under Neil Warnock?
I loved it. He's class, isn't he? Yeah, he's class. Last time I spoke to him was in the summer, he rang me up because he was at Huddersfield and he was asking like if I wanted to go and learn there. And I just speaking to him, he's just like such a cool fella, isn't he? I always said, whenever my mate said like, what is it like? I said, it's like being like a YouTube video that you see. You know, like the videos that you see of him on YouTube, it's constantly like that. Like it's not something that he puts on, it's just the way he is. But like he's like a proper gent. I've got nothing but good things to say about him.
Did he give you a signed photo of himself from his little bum bag saying, "Be lucky"? Yeah.
He had so many of them. No, I didn't get one, but I might have to get one.
You definitely will. What were you thinking when you were made aware of Borough's interest in you?
I was in Portugal. I just wanted to go straight away. It was Ipswich were in League One at the time, and Derby. I was actually in the hotel with Shea Given, who was like the Derby first team coach at that point. And he asked for my number while I was there, so I gave it to him. And then about 15 minutes later, Wayne Rooney rang me. And I was like, oh my God. At first, I didn't know if it was a wind-up or not. And then he was speaking to me, and that was obviously a big deal for me because I was a United fan. So that, for like 5 minutes, I was thinking, that would be really cool. With him being a manager, but no, once Middlesbrough was there, it was kind of, I've always said it was kind of a no-brainer for me to join. Big club, a lot of history, big fan base, and I said after Rangers, like, I felt like it was a missed opportunity at such a big club, and kind of through opportunities and myself not doing myself justice, I kind of wasted that opportunity. I didn't want to do that again. I felt like it was a second chance to kind of prove myself at a good level. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
What is it about Warnock that players and the media you think absolutely love? And I suppose he gets a tune out of a lot of players as well. How do you think he manages to do that?
I don't know. It's just, I think just his outlook on life. Like, what is he, like 75 years old? And it's his enthusiasm for the games. Like, just like he's 30 still. It's crazy. He just... And just like his general day-to-day character, like you could talk to him all day. He's got time for everyone. And he's a funny fella, isn't he? He is a funny fella. But yeah, I was appreciative of him. Obviously, he wanted to bring me to the club. I think there was a bit of to and fro in between the club and myself. But I think he made it clear that he wanted me. So that kind of tipped the weighing scales in my favour, I think. So I've got him to thank for.
I would love to know, like, when you say like the catchphrase and that, like, do you ever get like have some bets going on with the teammates to say like, oh, which ones are going to say like this one?
Are you with me?
No, what do you want to say?
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that's what you do. I would go through a video after a game.
Fucking hell.
After every mistake. That's a standout one for me.
Yeah, oh, it's a great one. Like, I like the video where like, he goes, fucking tackle. That's like my favourite one out of any of them. I just love it. I absolutely love it. But like his style, or like when he left like Borough and we were mid-table, weren't we? We just drew against West Brom and Chris Wilder comes in. again, and obviously in the new start to play in that three, the three at the back, and obviously in the midfield, Isaiah Jones on the right. Do you ever think that like, you could potentially lose your place when a new manager comes in, and especially like Chris Wilder as well? Because I don't know if like would you fit his style? I don't know. Like, it's just like a bit of a because yeah. Warnock has a certain way of playing, and Chris has a certain way of playing. It doesn't always fit, right?
There's always a chance. You need to make an impression as soon as the new manager comes in. He's going to quite quickly make judgments on people and the characteristics and what they bring to the squad. So I think there's always that fear. I kind of knew he liked me. Where was I? It was when I signed for Rangers. when I signed for Rangers, he wanted to sign me when he was at Sheffield when they were in League One. So I had an idea that he liked me as a player. So I hoped that obviously was brought forward into the time we had at Middlesbrough. And fortunately enough, he did kind of like my style to implement in the team.
Yeah, and we got a question as well from Dan Easton. And just to say as well, I think you've got more questions than what Tuba did as well. So if you ever want to miss Tuba, and just to say in terms of fan favouritism, you know, you might win on that one. But he asks, why do you think the magic triangle of yourself, Jones and Dykstra was just so effective under Wilder?
I don't know. We just seemed to get it. It wasn't like we didn't do anything magical in training or like really, really work on it. We just seemed to know where each other wanted to go and at what point. Yeah, that was fun. I did really enjoy that time. It was a good, we had a lot of nice little combinations and overlaps and stuff. What game was it? I think we played a game this season and we were all back on that one side.
Mm-hmm.
And we all like smiled at each other before on the Friday and said, we're back for a couple of games here, maybe. But no, yeah, that was, we just seemed to have a connection where it worked. I think it helped me that I had Izzy's pace and I'm quick as well. And I knew like kind of what runs Izzy would like to make. And I could just basically put it into the space and he'd kind of get onto it. So now we had a good connection. And I'd probably say maybe barring a period this season, it's the most I enjoyed in football. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, we didn't get into the playoffs where we probably should have. But I think his style of play just kind of suited my kind of play and what I wanted to do and impose myself on the game. It was maybe a bit more expansive, which kind of helped my style, which was a bit more space and a bit more free.
I want to ask you about a couple of the big moments from under Chris Wilder that season and start off with probably quite a big one for yourself, being a United fan, Man United away in the FA Cup. How did it feel to firstly kind of step out into Old Trafford? You've got 10,000 travelling Borough fans there. You're playing a team including one of the best players in the world, and then you get the goal to equalise it.
Honestly, that weekend was mental. Best weekend ever. We got the team the morning of the game, but the team that we got was totally different to the team actually played. So we were told like it was a bit of a second string team. And I was a bit disappointed, like, you want to go to Old Trafford, you want to play the big dogs. So that made it even better when the actual team came out and it was literally everyone playing. And you're like, oh shit, here we go. But yeah, to kind of walk out Old Trafford on my family being there, my grandma being there, I've been to so many games with, like, sitting in the seats in the North Stand, my dad there, all my family, all my friends. And then to win and to score was kind of surreal. I did the pre-match press before and obviously joked about scoring and stuff, but never thought it'd be an actual possibility. It's just one of those moments, I guess, that I'll kind of hold on to forever and look back on when I'm a bit older and maybe show Elias and Theo what the dad did. But yeah, it was surreal. And then Elias had his first football session. Was it a Friday night, the game? I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, so on Saturday morning.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't go out and get steaming or smashed her out. I know I said I was going to go to the Yarm. I actually got, me and Martin went to the Yarm, but it was shut. I couldn't believe it. we did get there like two, but I was like, surely they'll keep it open for us. We're just being United, but they never.
Didn't you tweet something like,
keep it open? Yeah, keep your arm open, but I think people thought I was joking, but I was being deadly serious. But yeah, everywhere was shut. So I turned around, went home, and I had like 4 dark fruits in my fridge. So I just drank them on my own at my breakfast bar and went to bed. So it wasn't as crazy as you think it might have been. And then, yeah, like I said, I went to my son's first football training the following morning. So there you go.
Well, I'll tell you what, Redcar was the place to be that weekend. Bit of an anecdote from my side. I was at that game. It was the day before my birthday, and I went out in Redcar the next night for it, and I had barely any voice anyway from being in that way, and that made it worse. And then there's a podcast on Sunday where I've come on talking like Sean Dyche. So thank you very much for that, because that was an amazing weekend.
Yeah, I remember like the penalties. It was no one was missing, and Andros was next to me, like we were so nervous. And then that feeling of like running to the fans, because it was like, I went to run towards Lummers, and then Lummers was running past me. So then I like did 360, and just been like screaming the whole way down, just like seeing loads of people going mental. It was class, absolutely.
Did you not think about? I think you might have said this in interviews. Did you not think about VAR? Because I remember I was in the away end as well, and I did not think that was going to stand. So it kind of robbed me of that moment a little bit.
No, I'd totally forgotten. Just because all season we hadn't played with it, and it was like not something that was like mentioned before the game. So like I'd seen it hit his hand, but I didn't really think anything of it, because like I was used to playing without VAR and I didn't realise that it was on. So I mean, as you can tell by my celebration, I had no idea it was a rule anyway.
Another special moment was to follow from that. Spurs at home, such a special night for the club. How can you kind of sum that up?
In some ways I almost I enjoyed that game more because we played better. I feel like even though I scored, and obviously the actual feeling was unbelievable, and to play at Old Trafford, I don't think I played that great, and the team were okay, but I mean we won obviously, so I'm doing all right. But I feel like the Spurs game, we actually dominated for large periods, and that I felt we did ourselves a bit more justice. So I feel like that was possibly a better night on the whole than the Old Trafford one, added to the fact that it was at home and we weren't in the atmosphere. Obviously, we had a few good nights at the Riverside. So in a weird kind of way, I enjoyed that more.
Don't want to kind of bring the mood down too much from what we've just discussed here, but going on to the back end of Chris Wilder's reign at the club, obviously there was a lot of rumours circulating around potential interest in the Burnley job. Did that affect the squad much? Because I feel like there's been kind of mixed things said about that since, and it was at quite an important stage of the season as well.
So I've been banned. Shock. I don't know if it was my 3-game ban or my 2-game ban. I'm not sure which one it was.
He loves yellow, to be fair.
But so I'd missed all that week. I got the week off because I'd played like quite a few games. So I wasn't actually there for... was it Huddersfield? I think we played Huddersfield when it had come out. But I remember coming back to the lads, and they kind of told me what had happened, and I kind of could tell it didn't go down well with a few people. And results-wise, you could probably say it did affect the squad. We didn't really seem to recover from that point, which was a shame, because I thought we'd done really well up to that point. But I really enjoyed my time with Chris Wilder and Nilly. Especially Nilly was a really good tactical coach. I really enjoyed his ideas and what he brought to the table. I still speak to him now as well, just to if I ever need any nuggets of advice. But yeah, maybe, like I said, I wasn't actually there for that period, so I kind of missed what happened, but I can say it might have affected a couple of lads here.
That's interesting to hear. I think, obviously, when he left, there was that little bit where Leo was the coach, and then you end up with Michael Carrick as a manager. Being a big United fan, what was your reaction to Michael Carrick being announced as Borough manager or head coach?
Yeah, I was buzzing. It was a bit like the Rooney situation where I thought that'd be cool. But then obviously the gaffer then being the head coach or whatever, it was kind of, this is going to be interesting. Like I was just interested to see what his style was, just pick his brains about football. I didn't actually do that because I was a bit nervous of speaking about it. I said to him when I left, I said, I wish I'd have spoken to you a bit more about my United and his time there. But no, it was, I was obviously excited to see what he was going to bring to the team and his style of play. And obviously the way he played and the career he's had and the trophies he's won, you're going to listen to him when he speaks, because he brings that kind of presence in a like non-arrogant way. Like he's like a really just chilled guy. But you know, like when he speaks, he knows what he's talking about.
First couple of training sessions, could you see kind of already what he was going to try and bring in terms of a style of play or what his key philosophies were? And I suppose on top of that, what did you kind of learn from playing under Carrick?
So I was playing with, everyone knows now, but I was playing with my hernia for about 3 months or something. So when it was transitioning from Leo to the gaffer, I don't want to call him Michael. It's like, I don't want to call him Carrick. I'll just call him the gaffer. So that he like came in as I went for my surgery in Munich. So I kind of missed the first 10 days or so with him. But obviously I watched the games that they played. You could see straight away the kind of style they want to implement into the squad. And I was excited because it was good football. The lads played some really good stuff. It's totally different from the previous regime. But as always, I kind of back myself to try and impose myself on the squad and on his style of play. So when I finally came back, Danksy put, was it Woody or Danksy? One of them pulled me and was like, "We think you're a striker." well, it is what it is. That was fine. Just played a few games there. And I think from that, the last, 18, how long has it been there? 18 months maybe? That's probably my only thing that I'd kind of regret, not being able to have a chance in that two in the midfield, because I feel like that probably would have suited me more. I kind of did it a little bit with Piero when Piero played under Warnock. Obviously playing as a striker, it's totally different, back to goal, making runs in behind. It's something that I've not really done at any point over my career. I've always kind of been a midfielder or sometimes a 10, but even then not as much. But I never got that opportunity. The gaffer and his staff obviously saw it a different way, which is fine. I think if anyone can pick out a midfielder, it's the gaffer. And you've got Johnny and Dan and obviously Hayden. Hayden's such a magnificent talent. Even Alex Mart last year, you can see him now at West Brom, what he's doing on a really good run. So, I mean, he had a plethora of options and I got plonked up front instead.
I liked it, but it worked. It sticked a little bit.
Yeah, I just found it. I just found it really difficult. It was just so not natural for me.
Quite a few decent goals from playing up front, though. I think didn't you score against Birmingham last season away? I think that's about 6 hours.
Yeah, but like, I remember like the first half, I didn't do anything. And, I did score twice, but the first half, I was like, "What am I doing?" Yeah, I still enjoyed. Like, that's one of the things as well. I said to the gaff when I left, I said, even in that year, last year when I wasn't playing as much, I still really enjoyed it, and that's why I thought about leaving in the summer. But he always showed me a respect, and I really enjoyed training and the way we played, and I always felt like I could make a difference if I did come into the team or come off the bench. So my family was settled, and it just felt like the right thing to stay. And I think that's a big thing. If you feel settled and you feel like you're respected amongst the squad, then sometimes that takes over maybe the minutes that I was playing at times. And that made a big difference to me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You mentioned a keyword there I picked out a couple of times, how much you enjoyed aspects of last season under Carrick.
Yeah.
I think that's mutual with the fans as well. One of the key moments of the season, which I think everyone enjoyed, especially everyone in the away end that night, Sheffield United away. Obviously heard stories from the Sheffield United side of things on you know, when they went up, but what was the feeling amongst the squad after beating them away and such a performance like that as well?
So there was, I spoke to Ollie McBurney about that because he was saying stuff about all sorts. And I know Ollie because we were at Halleckpool together. And making a bit of a big deal out of it. Like, obviously, we'd beaten, what were they, second? That, and we were third. So, obviously, we were celebrating the tunnel. Big game, you're going to celebrate. But I think they were just trying to cause a stir. I might have given out a few whoops and bloody blah, but there was nothing. We weren't singing like we are going up or like that. It wasn't that big of a deal. I think they were just trying to get a few clicks.
Did you think after that game that you were almost on that sort of scent of getting second?
100%, yeah. Because I think they had a hard run of games as well.
Mm.
And I just felt like going to every game, we were going to win. So you look at the fixtures and you think, well, they could lose there. We're not going to lose, so we'll just keep picking up points. And the momentum at that point was definitely with us. Yeah, I thought from that point, I did think we were going to do it, but I kind of tried to keep myself mellow enough not to show too much.
What do you think was the reason why Borough didn't get promoted that season then, in your opinion?
No idea. I don't know. We had a couple of like strange results, like Rotherham. Since I left Rotherham, I've never beaten them.
Yeah, they're a bogey team now,
officially. Yeah. Just like we played Huddersfield, I think they beat us as well. I feel like they might have beaten us at home.
4-2, yeah.
Just like we kind of, like I said, we had that momentum and I feel like that might have just dropped off a little bit. I don't know. I couldn't. Even when we played Luton and we played like me and Al, we used to call it the Joey squad because it was like, obviously the team was set and then it was like us, we called ourselves the Joeys, like me, Alex, a few others. And we lost that game. But even that game, like we came out of it thinking, we've absolutely battered them. We should have won like 4-1, 4-2. So there was never a point where we thought we haven't won a couple of games or we've drawn a couple of games and negativity about the place. We're always quite positive. And then I think playoffs, it's a lottery ticket, isn't it? It depends how you pull it off on the day. And COVID did a number on us. I couldn't put it down onto one thing. It's just, I don't know, maybe you can tell me from an outsider's point of view watching on.
Well, it seemed like injuries hit Borough at a really bad time. Like, I remember Johnny Howson pulled up in the, I think it was a warm-up at Rotherham, Force got injured, five got injured.
Yeah.
I think Tuba told us that he was injured in the playoff semi-final second
leg. Yeah, you've got a point there. I forgot about Tuba. He did his, he said he felt his knee after about, I think it was like 25 minutes, and he obviously wanted to play on, but he got it scanned after and he'd done his LCL or something. So, I mean, yeah, that's true. Injuries hit us at a bad time, but like I say, Al came in and did a really good job for Johnny. Mm-hmm. I love Al. What a guy, by the way. Honestly, what a guy. We said, if like, he's not playing at West Brom, just bring him in. You don't have to play, just team around. Like, he was so good about the place. Like, so funny. But yeah, that was our chance. That was such a good chance to go. Like, I don't think you'll ever get a playoffs. No disrespect to the other teams, but it looked pretty weak compared to like what you've seen in previous years. But fair play to Luton. I said all season they're not going up. There's no way they're going to go up. They can't go up, and then they did. So
yeah,
hats off to them and doing really well again this year. So
Out of all the players that departed in the summer, then who do you think was probably the biggest miss for Borough this season?
I think you've got to say Chuba, haven't you? That many goals is ridiculous. To take that out of the team, not even that, just his general play, floating around in areas, and even in training you could see he just had that extra bit of sharpness to drift away from players. But then you could say Cam as well. Cam was so good at like stretching teams up at the top, and he was so clinical. So, but I think I'd have to say Chuba just because of his pure output, his goals that he scored. But I don't understand why he never played before. It's bizarre. How he just seemed to come to prominence under Carrick.
Yeah, how do you view that? Because as you said, it was kind of his Borough career was fading into. I don't want to say it. Insignificance, but in a way, like, he obviously came in and he just didn't quite do it under, well, Warnock didn't want him. Mm-hmm. He was his signing, he wasn't his signing, and then all of a sudden he has this incredible season. Like, as a teammate, how did you view that? Because it honestly felt like everything that Chuba touched turned to gold.
Yeah, you could see he had talent. That was literally the first year that I started training with him. I think he was on loan the year before. But you could see he was so talented. Obviously, he's got a pedigree of being younger, being in England, set up in Arsenal. But I think I've experienced it myself where sometimes you just don't fit and you haven't done anything particularly wrong. People just don't want you, and there's nothing you can do about that. But I think Chuba said it himself, like, the gaffer was perfect for him, the coaching staff worked for him, the style of play was perfect for him, and it was just kind of like the perfect match.
Well, looking at your season this season, how do you view it? Because obviously you've played in more advanced positions like you referenced earlier. So, yeah, how do you view your season for Borough this season before you left for the MLS?
Yeah, I thought I did all right. I had a bit of a purple patch kind of when we went on that winning run. I think it was it me and Josh? Yeah, it was me and Josh, kind of the gangly front, like two boys up top. But I enjoy playing with Josh. He's still a young lad, and I think he's got a good career ahead of him. But he made good runs and kind of let me drift into a. It's almost like the 10 role that Chuba played wasn't the same 10 role that I played, because like I said, I like to play a little bit deeper. I always kind of want to be a midfielder rather than like an 8-10 rather than being a 10-9, which maybe Chuba was. So I tried to kind of play it my own way and drift a bit deeper sometimes. But no, I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it more than the 9 role. It was much more comfortable for me, I'd definitely say that. But yeah, I mean, you can always improve, and there's always bones to pick and things to learn. But yeah, I played a lot more and I enjoyed it, and we probably should have won more games and picked up better results. But I mean, the start of the season, Jesus crap. I never had a good start to the season at Middlesbrough ever. Every season it was like a slog. And I spoke to Paddy, and Paddy was like, it's been like this for like 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, I was like, why can't we just start well and so we're not always playing catch up? I remember that coming in the first half, Sheffield Wednesday, I was like, oh my God, like, what is going on? This is just a nightmare. But yeah, we picked it up, turned it round. But then it's just kind of stolen a little bit, I guess. But injuries have been, I mean, they've smacked us right in the nuts, really. Dara, Tommy, Johnny, Hayden now. Who else? Josh. You could, the list goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think at one point there was like a whole 11 of players that were injured, including obviously Sonny Dieng. Yeah. There has still been highs of this season, though. There's two games in particular that I want to mention. Sunderland away, 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, was that Shearer celebration planned?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah. So Smudge, Michael Smith, I played with him at Rotherham, was like one of my close mates now, and he's a big Newcastle fan.
Yeah.
So he said, like, if you score, you've got to do Shearer. So, like, his missus is a Sunderland fan as well, and all her family's Sunderland fans. So, Was it San Seb as well? I don't know if Mike, you know, have you ever been to San Seb, Tees Barrage? Coffee.
No. Was that the little van?
Yeah, the
little van on the side.
Me and Dale used to go there like every morning for a coffee, and he's a big Newcastle fan, and I think he might have mentioned it to me as well. So it was always in my head, if I scored, I'm gonna do it.
How was that afternoon then? Because for us, God, the podcast afterwards was amazing.
Yeah, it was class to go up there, and they were giving it like the beginning a little bit. To go there and beat them 4-0, obviously it's special. It's a big game. Is it a derby? Are you saying it's a derby or not?
It's not to them unless they win. So
yeah, well, yeah, it was a derby, big game. I don't think I'd ever won there, so I wanted to go there and put on a show, and 4-0 live on Sky was pretty cool, I guess.
Well, that celebration would have put you on Shithouse Island. We have a little feature on this podcast called Shithouse Island, but you were already on it. Because I don't know whether you remember you went over to the, I think it was it the Barnsley fans?
And Tav
were shushing them. You had quite a few house moments.
So there's the Rotherham media guy. He's commentates on the games, you know, like for, what's it called? iFollow. So he does like the commentary for that. And he's a massive Barnsley fan. And he texted me before the game saying that he was going to go to the game and be in the way end. So I said to him, if I score, I'm going to come over and give you some. Tav just joined in because Tav's Tav and he wanted to get involved. But yeah, that's the story behind that one as well.
I want to mention Tav real quickly because you and him had such a good partnership in midfield and Wilder, and off the pitch, you seem to be very good friends as well. So can you talk about Tav a little bit? I mean, I loved him on this podcast. I thought he was quite underrated.
Little Tav. Obviously, I played with his brother at Rangers, so I kind of knew him a little bit already. But no, we got on really well. I still speak to him now as well. He always sends my boys Bournemouth kits, so they're like mini Bournemouth fans. and I'll speak to him every now and then. I spoke to him this morning. He just asked me if it's lively out here. In his words, is it lively? I think he wants to come for a summer weekend, maybe. But nah, he's a great guy. Really good football. I'm glad to see him doing so well in the Prem. But I always told him when he was here, he hated scoring goals. He'd get in so good positions and then he'd just like sky it over. I was like, he just hates scoring. Like even in training. And he's the type that gets really frustrated as well. So I'd be saying it in training and he'd be getting fuming. I'd be like, just go, mate. Just you're doing everything else. Just put it in the net. But no, we'd had a few celebrations as well. We had the Spider-Man. Spider-Man, what game was that?
I think it was at home, wasn't it?
Stoke, it was the last game at home, Stoke at home, yeah. Because Elias had been, he just started watching Spider-Man. So we're watching that. And then we did Derby, we did the darts one. What's the guy, is it Matt? Peter Wright. Why did we start doing that?
Well, wasn't there a darts competition?
Yeah, I think it was the darts at the time, yeah. So we were messing around at training doing that, so so we did that, and then he had a handshake with every single player.
Oh, wow.
Like every single player. Yeah.
So, he was in charge of the... Why not put him in charge of the celebrations during COVID, I think, I remember. Yeah,
we had a handshake with every player. Ours was... What was the Squid Game? Remember Squid Game? You know, at the end where they do the game and like show the balls, can you remember? They're playing that game with the old fella at the end. That's where we got ours from. I'll get a video. You can put it on the video if you can find it.
I do remember it, actually. I do remember it. There was another highlight this season as well. Chelsea at home, obviously Hayden Hackney scoring.
Yeah.
I went crazy in the East End. can you talk to us about that night as well?
Yeah, the gaffer said before the game, just kind of go out and enjoy it. Semi-finals are there to be won. Like, you literally have the opportunity to get to a major final at Wembley. Try not to play the occasion, which is hard. I learned that at United as I kind of played the occasion, maybe a little bit too much. But no, we just wanted to impose ourselves on the game. We knew that they could create opportunities at any point, but we wanted to make a game of it. And obviously, luck's got to be on your side in games like that, and things have got to go your way. It's just a shame that it was a two-legged affair and not one. But the atmosphere like before the game and during the game and at the end was class. It was up there, I think. I think the only one that was better than that was the playoff at second leg. I was warming up before the game. And like was it flags? It was flags, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like 15, 20 minutes before kickoff, and it was, you had some good nights at Riverside, especially at night. I love the night games at Riverside, yeah. We had some good ones.
I wanted to just touch quickly back on the Tottenham one. What were your emotions when Josh Corbyn scored that goal?
I was getting pretty tired at that point. but I had a little 5-second burst of energy. It's a bit like United game. It's just like a bit surreal. Like, fucking hell, we could win. Like, we've got 10 minutes left. Just like, see it out. But we kind of realised after the first half, like, they were playing a strange, like, tactic, really, like, deep and sitting off us, and they played into our hands, really. But yeah, it was just that kind of period there was, we had some such good nights, and like I said, like stuff that I'll be able to look back on. I'm so lucky, kind of, to have such good memories of playing. That's probably one of my main takeaways from being at Borough. Kind of, I've been so lucky to have. Obviously, we didn't get promoted, which is probably the main aim at any club at any stage of your career. But I managed to have some pretty magical moments, which I'm really lucky to have, I guess.
I bet you're glad that Balogun jumped over that ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, see on the video, I'll look real quick to see if the linesman put his flag up, because I think he might have been offside. But yeah, and then he just kind of like, I think I'm like hopping as Josh is running towards the goal, just please put it in. And then he just smashed it into the top bin, like Josh does.
Yeah, and injured again, Josh as well. It has had a really difficult season, hasn't he, this year, with injuries and stuff. But like, everyone has to be honest.
Yeah, he's got such a good profile for a striker. Big lad, strong, knows where the net is, but he's really quick as well. Like, really, I think was it Alex Bangura and then Josh, I think.
Oh, wow.
Like, so I knew I was going to get a strange look.
It's just very deceiving. Like,
I think that's normal with like the bigger lads. Bigger lads don't look as quick because the legs don't move as quickly as the smaller lads. I think that's just normal. But yeah, I think he's third. But if you look at any of his goals, if you put it into a space, more often than not, he'll look at the Chelsea game. He caused chaos because he's big, strong, and he can like run onto stuff. But he's like Hayden, I think, if he develops well and keeps his feet on the ground, which he's quite a posh lad, Josh, so I think he will, then I think he'll have a good career.
He's from Sunderland, isn't he, Josh? Can't
no, he's from...
No, Richmond.
Richmond, where? Yeah, he really? Played for Sunderland, right?
Yeah. yeah, he went there when he was a kid, I think, and got released.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, with a Richmond shot there, who was your favourite character from Ted Lasso?
I don't know what's that. Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
No, I only know Richmond from Coach Carter.
Oh, Coach Carter. Great film as well. Great film.
I've not watched it, which I was fuming about.
He's not watched Coach Carter? That's disgraceful.
I don't even think he knew what it was.
I mean, I've lost a little bit of respect for Josh Corbyn there, to be honest, just for being able to see that film. Great film. I mean, if anything from this conversation, like, go and watch Coach Carter, like, after this. Do you know what I mean? What a great film. But I have to move on. We've got some listener questions. We'll ask you about Real Salt Lake, and then we've got some couple of final questions for you as well. We've got four questions. One's from Spencer, and he says, which manager did you enjoy playing under the most at Borough, and why?
They've all got the pros and cons, I guess. I'd probably say Wild, just because I felt like I was playing a more natural position, probably. I felt like I was playing well, and obviously played the most as well. Whereas, although the football under the gaffer was really good, probably didn't play as much as I wanted to, and maybe a bit further forward than I wanted to. But saying that, I've come to Salt Lake, and now I'm playing as a 10 as well. So
it's more the unit of a 10. The next question from Jake, he says, are there any players Borough had that he wishes he could play with more? So any players that you could have played with more at Borough?
Riley. I played Riley McGree a lot in training, and we always won. So I'll go with Riley. I love Riley as well. Proper Aussie lad, like so competitive, but really good technician and good football. So I'd have liked to have played with Riley a little bit more.
Cool. Then next question. It's from Dave, and he says, you struck a relationship with Matt and Piero. Why didn't it work out for him at Borough?
I just think initially you've got, I think he was like, was he 22, 23-year-old Argentinian who speaks literally no English, coming to Middlesbrough and then playing under Neil Warnock, who doesn't speak any Spanish. You kind of have Leo there trying to translate, but like, I think it was the styles are too contrasting, how mine wanted to play and how maybe Neil Warnock saw the game and probably didn't bring the best out of him. He did have a period where maybe he was getting to grips with it. But then obviously the manager changed and then he had his issues injury-wise. So, yeah, it's a hard league to complain, and if culturally it's totally different for him. He was having barbecues in the rain. It's like asado, they call it asado in Argentina, and I feel like I found it really difficult culturally to come and be in a change room basically full of English or English speaking players, which, like I said before, I've obviously come here probably 50% South American lad, so I could understand how that might feel. You can't, even in the change room, like, it's a lot more to just playing. You're there every day with 20, 25 lads, and for them all to be speaking, laughing, joking, and then you not having a scoop of what's being said, being without your family, it's like, it must have been so difficult for him. So, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but I think it was just a whole host of reasons, really.
Yeah, language barrier probably being the biggest one.
Yeah, but he's got a great player, and he's going to see the size of his legs, Jesus. Massive, like, ridiculous. That strongest, like, he's so strong, just unbelievable.
Yeah, just profile wise, great, but just
yeah,
work out. Yeah,
yeah.
Fair. Final question we've got is from Jeff, and he says, in your opinion, what are the strengths of the current squad at Borough, and what do we need to improve on?
I've just left them, I can't start battering them already. Strengths. Listen, there's still very good players there, and when you've got a full strength 11, it's a good team, one that's capable of winning games. So they've shown that over the course of the season. But it is such a young squad. I think I was like the fourth oldest, and I went from like being like middle, like still feeling pretty young. Like Peltz was there, so I was Tails was there, so I was like, I'm well young here. And then literally within like 3 months, I was fourth oldest. Which came with its perks. I was like fine master, so I collected all the fines in for the lads for the Christmas party, and then we gave some to charity as well. I just feel like with how young it is, sometimes obviously it's difficult to, with that lack of experience, to kind of just see yourself through games and just, yeah, that maybe. But the coaching staff know what they're doing. There's a good group there, and I think next year they might have a good push for it. Now they've got the likes of me out.
Do you think what you're saying there in terms of the age of the squad, that's maybe an area where having Smith and Lenahan out from such an early point of the season maybe handicapped us a little bit this season?
Yeah, it makes a massive difference. I'd probably say they're two of the loudest on the field as well, like dictating players where to go, what to do, kind of leading by example that way. Obviously, Johnny's in there, but Johnny leads in a totally different way, just by his on-field play, his demeanour about the place, the fact that he's, what, how old is he, 30? How old is Johnny? I think he's 36. And still 10, playing
36,
at such, yeah, he's playing at such high level still. So, yeah, I think we've definitely missed that kind of personality on the pitch to kind of say, right, come on, let's get to it. And listen, injuries are part of football and you've got to deal with them. But I do feel like we've been dealt a bad hand this season. It was kind of like long-termers, which can't really have any say overall, it's not like it's a muscle injury where you could kind of protect yourself. It was like real bad injuries that are like a good few months, and then the thinner the squad got, the more injuries we end up getting, because lads are playing like games consecutively where they might have been rested in periods. So it was like a vicious circle, I feel, in the end.
Yeah, definitely. On obviously a more positive note for yourself and your career, just want to cover the latest move to Real Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction when you...
it's a lovely badge, isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah. And I've got a vest.
Lovely shirt as well.
We do not have vests in Middlesbrough. We had them for pre-season in Portugal, but not for not for during season. So I thought I'd
probably a good guys. Thing.
Yeah, I've got my arms out for today for you guys. You're welcome.
Guns on shore, you know. Yeah.
Branches.
What was your reaction when you first heard of the interest from Salt Lake?
So initially, I wanted to explore it in the summer. So I kind of said to my agent, right, to put a few feelers out there for the summer. It was kind of like Finn had come in, Morgan was here at that point, and I was still playing, but I kind of felt like the club were going in a direction which might have meant that I was being kind of put to the side a little bit. And I've never kind of been one to hang around if I'm not playing. It's something that I've always wanted to explore. Obviously, I'm getting older as well. And yeah, we got two kind of clubs pretty quickly. And I was pretty surprised. I didn't expect it to come. It was pretty quick. And then it was kind of a case of, do I move 5,000 miles across the sea to America to go play? And I've always wanted to do it. Before I signed professional at 17, if I wasn't going to do that, I was going to do like a college scholarship. That was kind of my plan. So it's always been an aim of mine to kind of go over to America and play. It's something that's really excited me. But having two kids and a missus, you can't just make the selfish decision of, right, I'm just going to go to America. I've had to speak to her, and after discussions, we thought it'd be a stupid opportunity to turn down. And I'm really excited. I've done a lot of traveling the last 2 weeks. I came over, flew here, flew to California for a training for 3 days, flew back to Salt Lake, and then I need to sort my visa out. So then I went to Seattle, and then to London, then to Miami for the game, which I missed, then back to Salt Lake, then to St. Louis for a game, back to Salt Lake. So yeah, there's been a lot of traveling, a lot of time zones. So I'm pretty shattered at the minute, but I'm excited for it. Like I said, it's something that I've always wanted to do. The World Cup coming here in a couple of years as well. So there's like Copa America as well this year here. So it's like, it's just a totally different life as well from family. It's got the best snow in the world, apparently, Salt Lake.
Oh, wow.
So I can't ski or snowboard, but I feel like it's just a cool outdoorsy opportunity for my kids, like just to experience something totally different. And I mean, 3 years at 30 years old at my age is... I wouldn't have got that in England, so that was obviously another big factor for me. But yeah, the lifestyle, and like I said to you before, we only get one life, I guess, and I've learned that the hard way. And when this came along, I know I wanted to do it, and as long as I had the blessing off Ash and the kids, and it's one we were going to do, and here I am now.
Yeah, you can just like sense from like how you're talking now, it just like just feels like such a good move for you. And like, and for your family, and like, you feel like, I know you've done like a lot of traveling as well, but you just seem like quite settled and really content with the decision that you've made. It's like, how different is it, like football and wise as well? Like, obviously, new country, different styles, different types of players. How are you settling? I know you've only played a few minutes so far, is there anything you can kind of see that that's a little bit different?
Like I said, I've only played 30 minutes of proper football. So I don't want to call it too early. I feel like you might get a bit more time and space. And I don't know if it was for Borough, a lot of teams sat in, so it was so hard to find space all the time. So it might be more that factor. But yeah, it's weird because of the salary cap here. You've got players that like have come fresh out of college, and then you've got like Messi, who's on $50 million a year or whatever. So I think there's a massive like range of player. But no, this like the training ground's unbelievable. It's massive. It's a beautiful place. Like, there's mountains everywhere. it's pretty cold at the minute, but it's supposed to get warmer in the summer, so I'm looking forward to that. But like I said, there's a massive South American contingent down here, so I'm hoping that I can get back in with Georgina, my Spanish teacher. Time zones, it might be a bit difficult, but I'd like to be able to converse with not just the American guys. I'd like to speak to the Spanish lads and get to know them too. So I'm just looking forward to my family getting here now and settling down properly.
Yeah, and hey, you don't really want to ask your teammates like different Spanish words because like they probably will rinse you or tell you something.
Yeah, just call me something that's not true. Yeah.
That's always a difficult one. But I was going to say a final question on just the Salt Lake side of things. But is there any like goals or ambitions that you've got over there? Maybe win MLS Cup, maybe, or is there any like personal goals that you've got?
Yeah, I want to win. I want to win something. I've not really won anything in my career. Like, I've been promoted, but that was like COVID promotion. So does it count? Probably not. I mean, I've got the medal, so
yeah.
I mean, I can pretend if I want to. like, I've had a couple of individual accolades, like Team of the Years and stuff, League One, League Two, but I want to win something. Like, that's why I was devoured a Chelsea game. I was just like, we could have made it a bit more of a game and, like, just had the opportunity. Yeah, so I'd probably say winning the MLS Cup. They've got a Leagues Cup here as well, which is teams from America and Mexico, so that'd be cool. Playing Mexican teams, that's something, obviously, again, totally different. That's another thing about coming here. Like, I don't know any of the players. It got to a point in the champ where I'm playing against the same players week in, week out, and I don't know what they're all about. Whereas here, it's completely new styles, so that's another aspect that I'm looking forward to. But yeah, personal, I don't know, just enjoy my football, play as well as I can. That's it, really. I've not really set myself any targets. What will be.
Just finishing questions here. You've had so many great moments at Boro. We mentioned a couple of them earlier. What was your favourite of that time?
I think the United one's hard to beat on a personal level. I think it's got to be that one. There was just so much like on that day. Obviously playing at Old Trafford. Like I said, like my family being there. Like I got a ticket for my grandma and my granddad who's passed away when I was young, but like he took me to football and like in Manchester when I was younger and took me to Man United when I signed there as like a 9-year-old. And like he had a season ticket for like 40 years. So I got him like a ticket as well and like gave it to my grandma. Like at the same time as he got hers, obviously he wasn't there, but he had like a seat. So like loads of little stuff like that was just like really nice for us as a family. So I'd probably still always say that one.
Well, in your goodbye statement, you said that you'll still call Middlesbrough your home.
Yeah.
Why do you found such a strong connection with Middlesbrough Football Club and Teesside as well?
I think a big part is probably away from football. My family, they settled so well in the area. Like Elias goes to school in Middlesbrough. Theo goes to nursery. Ash has made like so many friends away from football. Like she's got her own life there. So like I said, it was like home, but it was home for like Elias has got a Borough accent, which I mean, he says no and never. Like, that's so boring. No and never. So yeah, I think it was more that side of it. Like that was like my family in Huddersfield or Sheffield, her family like down south. So that was kind of our base, and it'll continue to be that. I think we're going to keep the house that we've got. We were so settled in that area. So obviously the football side was great as well, but I think more importantly off the field, on a personal level, it was perfect for me and my family, I guess.
And a word for the fans as well, because they took to you really, really quickly, and obviously the old Wilder said chant. Have you got a message for them as well?
Yeah, it's a big thank you, really. Like I was proper shocked after obviously it was announced I was left. It was really like, I wouldn't say emotional. I don't want to get too deep, but just really rewarding, maybe. Like just seeing kind of that it'd been worth it. Like just, I don't know. It's not like you make an extra effort, but kind of the connections that you've made and the people that you've made friends with, even like the staff at the club, like Laura, who works in the office, and all the kitchen staff, just like getting to know them on a, getting to know those people rather than just thinking of them as workmates. But yeah, the fans, like the messages that I got, and a bit overwhelmed really. I was half expecting people to mostly like, thank God, like, he's gone. Should never have given him another contract anyway. But no, it was a bit overwhelming. But I'm happier, like I said before, about the Rangers thing. I don't feel like I did myself justice, and I feel like I managed to do that here, and I managed to kind of forge a bond with the club and the people around Teesside and Middlesbrough. So it's not something that's going to go away. Like I said, I'm probably going to keep in touch with people around there. I get Christmases off now, so I'll have Christmas at home and might come to the Boxing Day game if I can get a ticket. So yeah, it's somewhere that I'll hold in high regard for forever, really.
And the Your Wildest Head chant, you got to love that, haven't you?
It was great, wasn't it? It was great. I don't know who you swap out now for me. Have they changed it yet? Have they sang it yet?
Nah, I think they're going to let it rest now, I think. But people were saying maybe Hayden Hackney says fine.
Yeah.
Who do you think?
Yeah, who should replace Matt Crooks?
Definitely not Dan. Dan has got the worst hairline. You can see his crown, honestly. His crown's so bad. Like, his hair's so fine here. He's like Zidane.
He's going to go to Turkey in the summer, like maybe.
He needs to. Honestly, it's so bad. He's got good hair. Hayden's all right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, Senny Dyang has a strong hairline. We've mentioned this on this podcast before.
It's like spray painted on, isn't it?
It might be. You know what I mean? Could be. You never know.
Is it actually?
Known. Luke Sengel, no. He's like Dan. I'll go ahead because I can't think of anyone else. It's not good, that is it?
Yeah. It's a tough one. Maybe like it's like in the, like the profile in the summer, like must have good hair.
Must have
for the, for the chance. Yeah.
I've actually had my hair, first haircut while I've been over here.
How'd it go? Because the barbers are questionable, you know.
It was okay. I mean,
it's all right.
A few bits that you can work on. But
yeah.
We work together. It's a learning process. I won't judge him yet.
Yeah.
But I've got my wedding in the summer, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to give me 5 days off as well. That was like a deal breaker. So I got my wedding in the summer, and I said, I don't really want to rearrange it. So they've given me 5 days off. I feel like it's a lot more chill over here.
Mm,
yeah. Like, imagine it was January, mid-season, in England, and they said, oh, can I miss a game and miss 4 days of trading for a wedding?
Yeah.
Said, no chance. Yeah. So yeah, back to the hair. It's all right, but I don't know. I feel like it's out the curls a little bit, and like these bits here, it's just a bit.
This is what our listeners are tuning in for, Matt.
Yeah, sorry guys. Sorry.
No, to be fair, like you've got to be careful because you might just one day like you might get really angry and just shave it off. You know what I mean?
I have thought about doing that,
like do the John Cena or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never had like a buzz cut, so I'd love to try it, but I've got quite a big head, so I don't know if I look silly. We'll see.
I'm sure there's some sort of like augmented reality or app where you can kind of check your hairline in different forms. You know?
Yeah.
Easy somewhere. Easy.
Yeah. I'll send you a picture.
100%. 100%. I would definitely enjoy that. We have two more questions for you and we can let you go. We asked everyone these questions. The first one is, have you thought about what you're going to do post your football career? You've got 3 years left at Salt Lake, and then what are you going to do afterwards?
I really, 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 really want to open a coffee shop. Whether that's a pipe dream, I don't know, but like I've got the name and everything already. I've got the idea and the in my head.
What's the name?
Treehouse.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
But it's because it's like Treehouse, it's got to be like themed on. So all the coffee's got to be like sustainable. All the coffee cups have got to be sustainable, like going on that theme. So there you go.
I wonder if you can make like a tree blend.
Yeah,
I like that. There you go.
That or a physio. I would like to stay in football maybe as well. So possibly be a physio because I feel like coaching's not for me. speak to him too much. But I feel like as a physio, you're still kind of one of the lads. Like, that's where all the crack is. So I can still have a bit of banter on a... I couldn't work in an office or anything like that. It's weird. Like, I've been in football since I was... professional since I was 17, so it's kind of like all I've known most of my adult life, and then to kind of go into something completely new, it's pretty daunting in a way. Yeah, Treehouse.
Not fancy a job in the ticket office like you did before, or
that was, you know, I was sprung on me so much as well. I was supposed to be like a 2-minute video, and then I was there for like 2 hours. I loved it, like, but yeah, that was hard. That
difficult. It's a difficult job, especially where, like, you know,
honestly, it's really hard. Like, I have to click, like, obviously, click loads of buttons, and then I don't know. It was hard.
And like, once you get someone's ticket wrong and then someone needs to help you, it's just
I'm on the phone to the guy. I didn't know what he was saying. I couldn't understand him. He couldn't understand me. It was just chaos.
We've got one final question for you, and it's for the players you've played with. What's your five-a-side team? We'll give you two subs as well.
Do I need a keeper?
You can pick yourself as well.
I can't pick myself. Goalkeeper.
You don't have to have a keeper. You don't have to have a keeper. You could just do a ringer and someone goes in and takes turns.
Goalie Wen. We call it Goalie Wen.
Oh, Goalie Wen. Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
no, that is... I was close to the net, just like goes in there.
Oh, no. I just like...
That must be a Yorkshire thing.
Oh, that is definitely a Yorkshire thing. 100%.
But I'll put Zach in there. Zach Steffen. Okay. He's actually my biggest enemy now. That's like a derby for us.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, so, like, I mean, you play against each other soon, right? When do you play against Zach?
I think it's not next. Maybe the week after next, I think. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. So I'll have Zach in there. What a cool bloke, by the way. And his dress sense, his dress sense was unbelievable. He was proper cool. And like, he pulled off, you know, like the dangly earring with the diamonds in it.
Mm. Yeah.
Smart.
It takes a certain man to pull that off. It's very difficult.
He is that man. Nico Crenshaw. He'd definitely be in the five-a-side team. His legs are gone a little bit by the time he comes to Rangers, but in five-os, he was unbelievable. Like, scandalous. So... Nico Crenshaw. I'll put Tav in. Tav as well. So that's three. I need two more. She's hard, this.
Yeah. You can have two subs as well if you want. If you want to have some subs.
Two subs.
Ringers to go in there. Yeah.
Dan's going
to
be my sub because I love him. And he's my best pal. So Dan can be a sub. He's not in my starting five. Sorry, Dan. what strikes have we had? I might put both Tavs in. I could have both Tavs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both Tavs.
Mm-hmm.
James Tavernier as well. Rangers captain, scored a ridiculous amount of goals. Like, ridiculous. I feel like the striker here could be in my top five, but I'm not playing with him enough yet. But he's played for Colombia's national team and he seems like he knows what he's doing. So...
Agent Crooks in the summer.
he's a good striker. Shall I put him in or not? Or is that a bit cringy? I never want to play him far from.
Hey, it's your call. You know, if you want to build the relationships there now, like it might be a good shout.
Yeah, put Chicho in. Me and me go Chicho.
Put Chicho in there. So Stefan in goal, both Tavs, Crankia and Chicho. You got Ballaster on the bench, but do you want one more as a sub? Oh, you're all good.
No, we'll have more sub, won't we? This is terrible. This. I'm trying to think of the good players that we've had. Chuba. Chuba.
I can't believe you missed out Chuba, Matt.
I know, yeah. Yeah, take Chicho. Adios, amigo. Put Chuba in. Chicho's on the bench.
Chuba for Chicho, and then oh my god, I was messing with my head that I couldn't really say Chicho on the bench. That was killing me. But that's it, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us. I think it was on behalf of us as well. I would say like it's been a bit of a bucket list to have you on. Like we've absolutely loved having you on this pod. And I'm not just saying that as well. Like we've actually loved having you on. Like Dana's got like you on the top of a Christmas tree as well. Like there you go.
I did put your face out and put it on the top of a Christmas tree. I can't lie.
Yeah, we made a song about you. We don't want to hear. And
staying on this year, or are you going to take me down now?
You know what? No, I think I'll put it on. I did replace you last year with my dad, but I think I'll put you back on.
That's fair.
Yeah, we do the unconventional stars on the top of the Christmas tree in the malt house.
They're hard working, they're the stars. They never stay up. Yeah. Whenever I try it, it always just flops. It's like always too, the stars too heavy for the tree.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. This has been the Matt Crooks World Breakdown podcast, and that was all your Matt Crooks chatter in a podcast up the Borough.
Cheers, guys, up the Borough.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.